Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me today's sermon title? It's on the screen. When the Saints Come Marching In, based on the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And would you turn to your worship folder this morning? I'm going to have you read aloud with me the text. The text is printed in its fullness right on top of your sermon outline. Would you turn there with me now? And would you read together with me those words from the prophet Isaiah? And the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples upon this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, and refined aged wine. And on this mountain he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all nations. He will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And God says, your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. I invite you now to follow along with that sermon outline for the rest of the sermon as we consider our theme, When the Saints Come Marching In. Well, two generations ago, I clearly remember my dear grandmother on our old dairy farm would proclaim when she got really excited about something, she would yell out, "Saints alive!" And I remember one generation ago hearing my mother sing as she was doing the kitchen sink duties, washing the dinner dishes, she would sing this tune. Oh, when the saints come marching in, oh, when the saints come marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints come marching in. The biblical definition of a saint, let's make it very clear this morning, is a forgiven sinner. And today the church celebrates All Saints Day. We thank God for forgiven sinners. We remember those who have gone before us and died in the faith, and we celebrate God's gift of heaven. Yes, heaven is the destiny of all of God's saints. And as we consider heaven today, look at your sermon outline. We'll consider the four B's of heaven: the banquet, the battle, the blessing, and the beauty. At the heavenly banquet, only the best will be served. Prophet Isaiah says in 25 verse 6, and the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples upon this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces of meat with marrow, refined aged wine. The Old Testament prophet envisions heaven as a banquet on a mountaintop. This banquet will only serve the best food and best wines. No greasy fast foods. No cheap drinks. This banquet will be 1,000 times better than the best Thanksgiving meal Grandma ever served. But make no mistake about it. The real banquet to be served there will be the banquet of everlasting peace and security and joy and reunion with loved ones who have died in the faith. Everything will be finally as it's supposed to be. How is that possible? Well, we come to the second B. Because of the battle. Because of this battle, the victory banquet is possible. What battle? The battle in which death was swallowed up in victory. Listen to Isaiah the prophet. And on this mountain, he, the Lord, will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, the veil which is stretched out over all nations, he will swallow up death forever. The covering or the veil that has covered, does cover, and continue to cover all people is death. Did you hear me? Death. We can't escape it. The Bible says clearly, the soul that sins shall surely die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The reality of death, says Isaiah, covers us like a blanket or a veil. But here Isaiah declares that God has swallowed up death. And this is a very powerful wordplay. Let me explain why. People in Isaiah's time pictured death as a terrible monster with a big mouth whose appetite was never filled. The monster called death kept swallowing their loved ones, swallowing people. People kept dying. But Isaiah says in this text, the swallower himself has been swallowed and God has done it. Well, where did God swallow up sin and death once and for all? Where was your sin and death swallowed up and defeated once and for all? At the cross of your Savior Jesus and at his empty tomb. Isaiah is quoted by St. Paul in declaring this victory. When in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul thumbs his nose at death and says, death, you think you are the worst thing this life has to offer? Well, guess what? Our Lord has swallowed you up. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15. It's a text we often read at Christian funerals. Paul writes, ha, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. The banquet, the battle, and next, look at your outline, the blessing. At this banquet, in celebration of the victorious battle over death, a wonderful blessing will be given to all of God's saints who have died in the faith. Isaiah 25:8 says this. And did you notice, by the way, when our elder Ruben Elizondo read this passage from Revelation, he even teared up at the reading of these words. These words are so precious. Isaiah says, and there the Lord God will wipe away all the tears from our faces. In a personal loving act, God will bend down and wipe the very tears from your eyes. I can't wait. Aren't you tired of all the things in this sinful, fallen world that brings tears and heartache to your lives? At that day, the scripture says, all our fear, all our shame, all our guilt, all that has brought us tears, God will wipe away from our faces. In Revelation 21, verse 4 that Reuben read, listen to how St. John puts it. The very last book of the Bible says the same thing. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. The banquet, the battle, the blessing, and finally, the beauty. The best part of heaven, Isaiah says, will be when we can see our dear Lord face to face. Isaiah 25:9 says, and it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited. Isaiah says, saves the best for last. The best part of heaven will not be the banquet shared, or the battle celebrated, or the blessing of tears wiped away. Isaiah says the best part of heaven will be the long-awaited reality of you seeing your Savior face to face. The psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 17, verse 15. O Lord, I will behold your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied. And as if all of this was not enough, there's even more. The great good news of Holy Scripture is this. Heaven is a gift of God. It's not earned or deserved by anything we strive to try to do or to be. The passage in Scripture that speaks so clearly of this is Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of your own works, lest anyone should boast. Heaven is ours, not as so many believe, because of our good deeds, our nice lives, or even our church attendance. The Bible is clear. We are all sinners. We are dead in our trespasses, in our sins. Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sins shall surely die, left to our own devices. We are dead in our sins and transgressions. A dead man is not able to work for, earn, or buy his way into heaven. Let me ask you, what is the only thing a dead man can do? The only thing a dead man can do is stink. And if anyone gets to heaven, it's because God has made it a free gift. It is free, but hear me carefully, it is not cheap. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is free for you, but it came at a horrible price. The suffering and death of our Savior Jesus upon the cross. Jesus' death there, though, made payment for your sins. His rising from the grave gives us forgiveness and life everlasting. What a gift! And this gift is received by humble, trusting faith. For by grace you have been saved, says St. Paul, through faith. Heaven is not ours by looking to ourselves. Heaven is ours by looking humbly only to our Savior. By the way, did you know? Did you know that you're saved by your good looks? So says Holy Scripture, saved by your looks. Listen to these passages. Isaiah 45:22. Thus says the Lord, look unto me and be saved, for I am God and there is no other. Hebrews 12:2, look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Titus 2:13, we look for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's message has had three parts. Heaven is the destiny of God's saints. Heaven is a gift for God's saints. And finally, heaven is something for which we need to prepare. For just a moment right now, let's talk about our own death. Are you hearing me? Let's talk about our own death and our own burial plans. All Saints' Day is a good Sunday once per year to be reminded of some very important things. Have you taken time to write down on paper your memorial or funeral service plans? Do you have an up-to-date will? Do you have a power of attorney? A personal directive for medical issues? Do you have a plan for your church as your estate is disposed after your death? Have you filed your important papers in a safe and accessible place for your surviving loved ones. Why do I ask this? Because over the years, I have seen too much heartache by too many people when their deceased loved one did not prepare these things ahead of time. As a Christian, advance preparation is a statement of faith, and it's also a gift of love to those we leave behind. And so today, as we do on every All Saints Sunday, we have a gift for you. We do this on every All Saints Sunday because we're reminded of death and heaven. The gift is a handout to help you prepare for the advanced plans we've mentioned above. Our congregational president, Alan Schellenberg, will be in the narthex with copies of these handouts for you to take. And he'll also make himself available to you to answer any questions, because this is the kind of thing he does on a daily basis in his job as a director of the Lutheran Church Foundation. Presently in my pastor's file, I have eight copies of these pre-planning sheets filled out from our members. Beverly and mine are in our safety deposit box. Our children have copies as well. I encourage you to take a look at this handout. It'll give you all the instructions you need to plan for the things you need to plan for. So today, we ask one last time, why commemorate All Saints Day? Would you please take one last glance at your sermon outline? Under section number 3, we remember All Saints Day for 3 reasons. First, to remember. Secondly, to celebrate. And thirdly, to prepare. To remember those who have died in the faith, all of our loved ones and families and friends, as well as people around the world who have died as martyrs who have given their life for the name of Jesus. And now, as has become our custom, we'll take a moment to remember and to thank God for our members of our own congregation and those connected to our congregation who have died since last All Saints Day. Dorothy Turnbull, January 29. We thank you, Lord, for Dorothy. Rose Pepler, March 10. We thank you, Lord, for Rose. Roland Lewis, July 4. We thank you, Lord, for Roland. And Chuck Wallace, October 3. We thank you, Lord, for Chuck. So we remember, but we also celebrate. And what do we celebrate? We celebrate the victory over sin and death and devil our Lord Jesus has given to us. This victory that belongs to all of God's saints who put their faith in Him. And finally, we prepare. We prepare ourselves for the reality of our own death and for the joys of heaven. The banquet of celebration. The battle that has been won. The blessing of God wiping tears from our faces. And finally, the beauty of seeing God face to face. Years ago, a church member told me this story about her own dear father, a man from the country who had a simple and very strong faith in his Savior Jesus. She said that whenever there was a family gathering at Christmas or for a birthday, the man would set aside a chair at the table and say, "Please, nobody sit here. This chair is reserved for Jesus." As he kept vigil at his wife's bedside in her last days, he sat in a chair and had an empty one next to her bed, and he announced to everybody who came to visit, "This chair is reserved for Jesus." When he later moved into a nursing home, he brought a special chair from his house and set it next to his bed at the nursing home and announced to anybody who visited, "This chair is reserved for Jesus." Well, one day, when his daughter came to visit him for their weekly visit, she found her dear father sitting up in bed. He'd obviously just passed away. But he's sitting up in bed. He had leaned over and put one arm around the chair sitting next to his bed, the chair that he had reserved for Jesus. It was clear to anyone in whom this dear saint trusted and in whose arms he was now held forever. My friends, may Isaiah's vision be our sure hope. Behold, this is our God. We have trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Oh, when the saints come marching in, oh, when the saints come marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints come marching in. Blessed All Saints Day to you, 2015, in the name of Jesus. Amen.